Welcome to Pregnancy Help Podcast. This week's session offers a glimpse into conversations on trauma-informed care currently happening in the housing community and is hosted by Heartbeat International Housing Specialist Mary Peterson. This podcast is part of a much larger conversation available for download in the store at www.heartbeatservices.org. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. We're talking about how trauma-informed care or trauma sensitivity really impacts our works as maternity homes. So we've explored a few different topics, and today we have the joy of kind of talking about rule structures, maybe how to deal with consequences and those type of things within the maternity home when things, when behaviors need adjustment. So we have two wonderful women with us today, very experienced and knowledgeable, and we look forward to kind of entering into a great discussion with them. If you haven't had a chance to join us, we'll go ahead and start with introductions. So, Valerie, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Valerie Harkins, and I am the Director of Programs at Lifehouse of Houston. I am also a licensed social worker here. I also played a big role in our ministry in bringing in some more relevant practices regarding trauma-informed care. So I spend a lot of my time working on our policies, procedures, cultural references or relevance, and all of that.
Awesome. Thank you. We're glad to have you. How about you, Julie?
Hi, my name's Julie Carlberg, and I oversee programs at Maggie's Place. And we have five maternity homes, and then we have a family resource center. And we've spent a lot of time the past couple years as well to really get staff trained in trauma-informed care and to look at a lot of our rules and policies and make sure that they're trauma-informed and culturally responsive and really strength-based and flexible.
Yeah, awesome. Well, let's go ahead and get right in it. So I was hoping that perhaps one of you could help maybe draw the link. So I know as organizations are thinking about trauma sensitivity or how to kind of adjust their practices, looking at the rules is one of maybe the top things or the first things that people look at. Can anyone kind of speak to what that dynamic is? What is at the heart of needing to kind of look at rule structures as one of the first things to make policies more sensitive? Julie, would you for tackling that one?
Sure. So I think the more we've learned about trauma and the effects that it has to its health, we know that it really reduces people's ability to be able to respond to and figure out problems. It really can lead to behaviors that could be like fighting or checking out or defiance because it kind of lowers that tolerance and that ability to be able to emotionally respond properly to stress. It can make, you know, friendships and relationships more difficult. It can affect your body in terms of just, you know, being able to have the physical stamina that you may need to respond to things. And then really just also increasing problems with learning and memory. So I think as we've, you know, really learned more about this topic throughout this, you know, not nonprofit and people working in maternity home, like looking at like how do we build resilience and how do we build attachment and nurturing relationships and how do we build social connections, all of the things that we know will really help people positively be able to overcome trauma, I think has helped. I know with us, it's made us look at our rules and are we creating a safe place where people can deal with their emotions and where they can learn how to really regulate their emotions without holding like eviction over someone's head. Like, are we creating that kind of environment or are we having people, you know, still feel that fight or flight that's going off when they're so scared of eviction.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great kind of summary of all that we've talked about in the weeks past about kind of how it affects brain chemistry and how, you know, the need for safety and that type of thing. So that really helps kind of bring it all into focus. Thank you. I'm kind of throwing off the cuff here, but I'm also curious, is there any dynamic around authority or kind of that sense of
people that have power to create structure or whatever, create discipline, can either of you speak to, is there an authority component that people should be aware of?
I'm going to jump right in on that. You know, one thing that we really find with authority figures or the representation of authority through the eyes of the woman, which is our goal. We're always trying to look through her eyes. How is she understanding the world? And often that authority figure represents loss or restriction or something that provokes fear. That's ultimately when we take away all the layers, whatever that authority figure is relating is provoking fear in her. So maybe entrapment or pressure or demands or a loss of your rights, a loss of your voice, a loss of your power. So many of our women have fought hard to get to where they are. And although we look at that as though you're not very far along in life, right? Maybe you're homeless or you don't have a job or you don't have money. To them, they feel like they've really gotten far in life because for them, they're out of a violent relationship or maybe they made the brave decision to exit the sex industry in a safe way while they had an opportunity to do so, or they were courageous enough to get off of drugs or what have you. And so for them, they're taking back their own power, which often is in the form of defiance and resistance, is their way of holding on to freedom. And so whenever an authority figure rolls in, often before any words actually get out of that person's mouth, that resonant is already in that hypervigilant mode. Who is this person? What are their intentions and what are their thoughts towards me? Are they going to take something away from me, namely my power? Now, of course, she's not always aware that all of that is happening, right? That's a complex dynamic. But certainly what we've seen. So our goal with authority figures here, and I have to say, I really have to remain cognizant of this with my position on campus, is that we want to come in and reduce fear, not provoke fear. And so there's a lot of strategies we can talk about later in how I go about doing that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Valerie.
Thanks for listening to this week's Pregnancy Help Podcast. If you'd like to hear the rest of the conversation, visit www.heartbeatservices.org to download the full session.